message of grace is brought to you by Christian people who believe the Bible to be the Word of God and who appreciate its power and authority. Within the pages of the Bible itself, there is a God-given design for its study. Rightly dividing the Word of truth is the key to understanding the Bible. We're glad you've joined us for another interesting look into God's infallible book as Richard Jordan, president of Grace School of the Bible, presents another in a series of messages designed to help you understand and enjoy the Bible. Let's join them now.
We're going to look again today at Romans chapter number 12, and we're going to do better than we did last time. We're going to really get into the passage this time. Romans 12, 1, Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You notice when he says, I beseech you, therefore. Anytime you see that word therefore, somebody said years ago, they said, when you see a therefore, always ask, why is it therefore? What's it there for? Well, it's there because the logic of the plan of salvation is going to take the next step, beginning in chapter number 12. The book of Romans is basically divided up into four sections, four foundation principles of grace that make up the essence of what the Christian life is all about and about what salvation is all about. And when you come to Romans 12, you're beginning to take the next step into that last final foundation stone, and it's essential that we understand what we're doing, where we're at. Now, we've talked to you. In fact, last time we got sidetracked into an exposition of how the New Testament books are written and laid out in an order that describes the dispensational dealings of God and also lays out the edification structure for the dispensation of grace. You see, if the only thing you ever did was just read your Bible, that would be enough. You don't need me and all these other people that, with all this fine teaching. If you just read the Bible, God has already laid it out for you in the Scripture and preserved even in the order of the books in the canon. The way the books are laid out in your Bible has preserved that edification. Dispensationally, the books are laid out. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the earthly ministry of Christ to Israel. The book of Acts, the fall of Israel, salvation going to the Gentiles. Romans through Philemon, Paul's epistles, where we are today. And then Hebrews to Revelation, the ages to come. So you have just the way the books are laid out is going to get you the doctrine. If you just follow the order of the layout. Romans through Philemon, Paul's epistles are laid out according to the divine design for the edification and the establishment, the stabilization of the Christian life. You see, your life as a believer is not designed to be tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine. That isn't God's will for you. Your life as a believer isn't designed to be lived on a plane of just kind of struggling and wondering and being bewildered. When you're bewildered, it's because you've been beguiled and bewitched in the not standing in the truth and not running well and not obeying the truth that God has for us today. And the way you counteract that and the way you get established is in the doctrine of the Word of God. And I say to you again, God's Word is an objective standard. Words on the page in a Bible that you can read and trust absolutely is the objective standard upon which your faith is to rest. Now, God says He'll fill you with joy and peace in believing. It's believing that produces the fruits of joy and peace. Fruit is always the result of faith resting in the facts of God's Word. So as we teach you the facts about God's Word rightly divided, it's so that you can understand it and put your faith in it and thus enjoy it and have it live in your life. Not just to know it, but so that it then can live in you. Because as the Word of God lives in you, think about that. What is the Word of God? Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. If the Spirit of God is going to work in your life and live in your life, it's going to be through the Word of God living in your life. And if the life of God is going to live in your life, it's going to be through the Word of God living in your life. The written Word of God is there to teach us about the living Word of God. And you see, if the written Word of God is living in our life, that's another way of saying that Christ is living in you. That's why he says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let it settle down and be at home and become a part of the warp and the woof of who you are as you walk by faith in God's Word. See, it all starts with an objective understanding about what's going on. And so we try to teach the verses in the Bible. And again, I say to you what I did last time, that the Bible is the only book you'll ever read that people study it by studying other books. People read books about the Bible to study the Bible, and that won't get it. I mean, you're never going to understand the Bible by studying books about the Bible. You're going to understand the Bible by studying the Bible itself. Now, the book of Romans is laid out in a fourfold manner. There are literally four foundation principles of grace. Now, grace is all that God is free to do for you through the finished work of Jesus Christ. Now, I know there are a lot of ways to define grace. It's defined as unmerited favor. It's really the word charis or charis, the Greek word that's translated grace, is a word that would describe, if you ever seen a grandparent with their grandkids. I went down into the kitchen area of our assembly the other night after the midweek Bible study, and we have a youth program in the gym and in the dining hall area, the fellowship hall, and that one of the brothers that runs that youth program was there after hours, and people were cleaning up and getting things done. And I went in, and this man is a businessman, and he's if you see him in his job, he's very, very, very capable and very up and stand. He was literally laying in the floor, and he had his little granddaughter was there with him, and he was playing with her. And what he did to get down, I mean, she's only about 2 feet tall, and to get down at her level, he had to lay down on the floor. And here's this grown man of some stature in the community, and certainly in our assembly, laying on the floor playing with this little kid. And that little kid is the delight of his life. We have another fellow in our assembly. He's got, his children are grown, got six children, and about five of them are having children right now. And so on the dash of his car, he's got all these pictures of his grandkids. And I told him, if you keep having grandkids, you're going to have to get a wider car because you got his dashboards. And this guy just excited about his grandkids, You see the bumper sticker, "Stop, let me tell you about my grandkids." Well, that delight of a grandparent giving a gift to their grandchild, that, if you can capture that in your mind, that's what charis is. It's a gift delightfully given. That's more than, that the phrase unmerited favor, that doesn't quite say that. But that's the idea. It's a gift. It's free gift. You've done nothing to earn it. I just give it to you because I delight in you and giving it to you. That's grace. Somebody said, God's riches at Christ's expense. That's a way of defining it. Doctrinally, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. Doctrinally, grace is all that God is free to do for you through the finished work of Jesus Christ at Calvary when He died for our sins, was buried, and was raised again for our justification. The accomplishments of the cross and what God is free to accomplish because of the cross, doctrinally, that's what grace is. Grace is tied to and bound to and inseparable from the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. And it's just another, it's a coin of the realm in the Bible to describe what God has accomplished. Now, having said that, we need to be able to understand what it is God's accomplished. So the book of Romans is written for the purpose of laying out and detailing that issue for us. Laying the foundation of grace orientation. You need to be oriented to God's grace to you in Christ. You need to understand and have a basis on which to rest your faith. Romans chapter 1 through 5 is the first section. Chapter 6 through 8 is the second section. Chapter 9 through 11 is the third section. And chapter 12 through 16 is the last section. The first section has to do with justification by grace. You have a right and adequate standing before God based upon the cross work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Justification is in two parts. First, there's the issue of forgiveness. Our sins are taken away and we're forgiven. And then there's that's the negative side. Then there's the plus side where God takes us and in Christ makes us righteous. The justice of Almighty God is free to give eternal life to everyone who has perfect righteousness. You and I don't have it. You see, the problem is God's holy and we aren't. God's perfect and we aren't. And to go to heaven and be with the Lord, you've got to be perfect. And you're not. And that's in essence what the Bible calls sin. Now, what Jesus Christ did is He took our sin in His own body on the tree, and God Almighty poured out His wrath against the Lord Jesus Christ there, and Christ died for our sins and for everything that's wrong with us, so that God first could forgive us and then could give us plus righteousness. He could take away the negative and add the positive. It's not just acquitting you, it's declaring you to be righteous, the very righteousness of God, and then He can give us eternal life. You find out all about that in Romans 1 to 5, how that God has made you completely and totally and eternally acceptable in His Son, and that in Christ, Christ died for our sins. And just like in Adam, everything in Adam, you know, that we inherited from Adam had to do with death. So in Christ, everything we have has to do with His life. That's justification. You know, a lot of folks never get past that. They never know how to deal with their sins. Why? They're Christian people watching this program right now. You think God still deals with you on the basis of your sins. You think when something bad happens, God's trying to get even with you about your sins. You've forgotten that God already took care of your sins, punished your sins in the person of His Son. For Him to do that to you now would mean that what His Son did wasn't enough. But you've never come to really rejoice in that total, absolute, complete forgiveness that God gave you in His Son. How that He doesn't want you to come to Him with a bunch of confessions about your failures. He wants you to come to Him rejoicing in His goodness to you and your Savior. Get your eyes off yourself and get them on Christ. That's what grace does, is it makes Christ adequate for our forgiveness and our acceptance. And it gives us a standing of complete acceptance, completely adequate in Christ. And then we have His life. Then Romans 6, 7, and 8 talks about sanctification. And I say that means that has to do with the fact of our identification. Maybe I should call it identification in Christ. It has to do, justification has to do with being declared righteous. Sanctification has to do with having that position and identity of righteousness that you have become an imparted kind of a thing in your life. You see, for God to give you His life, life is life, folks. That's the essence of what Christianity is. It's the life of Christ. Not only does He die for our sins, He dies for our sin. Not only does He die for me, He dies as me. I died with Him. And we are completely and totally identified in the death of Christ. His death becomes mine, His resurrection mine. He says, as many of you as were baptized into Jesus Christ have been baptized into His death. And again, that's not a water ceremony. Anybody that wants to read water in Romans 6 is absolutely blasphemous against the grace of God. And I say that without any hesitation at all. Somebody says, well, if the Bible doesn't tell you what you're baptized, you know what the element is, it's got to be water. Well, read the verse then, brother. Romans 6:3 says, as many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ. And if you believe for 1 minute that the city water system of the town you live in is Jesus Christ, then you got something. You've got another thing coming. I don't care if you were baptized in running water that you had to bust the ice off the top of to get in the creek. It had what happened to you has absolutely nothing to do with one verse in the Word of God. You can do what you want to do. Free country, have at it. I don't care. But when you begin to say that what you're doing is something God says, and it isn't, well, now I care. Because I care about the integrity of God's Word. And there's not anything that you or anybody you ever met, heard of, or thought about, ever did in a water baptism ceremony of any kind, shape, or description, that has anything to do with Romans chapter 6. Now you say, oh, that's a hard statement, Brother Rick. I'm not mad at anybody. I'm trying to make a hard statement. Somebody better tell you the truth. Because religion won't. Romans 6 has to do with the Spirit baptism. By one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. It's through faith in the operation of God that this takes place. Only God the Spirit could place you into Jesus Christ. And He does. And you see that His death at Calvary was not just to pay for your sins, but it was to set you free from sin. Not just to die for the deeds that you do, but to die to the cause, the thing that causes them. And God in His grace has set you free, and you're free from sin. And you don't have to be controlled by the old dominion that ran you and that held you. And He's taken you and set you free, given you an identity in Christ, made you a new creature in Christ, made you something brand new in His Son. He said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, surprise! All things have become new. And He says, I want you to know about all these new things that God's made you. And so He tells you in Romans 6, 7, and 8 about this new identity that you have in Christ. And how He's put you under grace and not under the law. And how He's put His Spirit in you. And it's the Spirit of God as you walk by faith in the identity that He gave you in Christ that allows Jesus Christ to live. And now it's Christ living in me. That's the issue. Romans chapter 9, 10, and 11 is a dispensational section. And it deals with the fact that God, in the dispensation of grace, has set the nation Israel aside. And having set Israel aside, has started something new, the church, the body of Christ. And in Romans 9, 10, and 11, He explains to you what happened to the nation Israel, why God set them aside, and how that you and I today are not Israel. Most heresy, most of the error, most of the confusion in doctrine in the dispensation of grace is in reality tribulation truth. Most of the confusion in the church, the body of Christ today, is scriptural, just not dispensational. It's Bible, it's just not rightly divided. And you can be scriptural and not be dispensational and be completely out of the will of God. So Paul explains to us how it is that God has set the nation Israel aside, that we are not Israel, but we are the body of Christ, and that God is not through with the nation Israel, but will fulfill His promises. Just today, He's interrupted the prophetic program. Then when you come to chapter 12 to 16, where we're going to begin now, you're going to deal with the sonship walk of the believer. And what Paul's going to begin to do now in Romans 12 to 16, having laid the foundation of our justification, having instructed us in our identification, having demonstrated how that we Christ has set us free from our sins and has set us free from sin and made us a new creature in Christ, take us out from under the law and put us under His grace, given us His complete and total new identification, how that He has set the nation Israel aside, temporarily changed the program, and that they've been reshaped from vessels of honor and the dishonor, and we've been shaped from dishonor to honor, and how that God has dispensationally changed the program. Now, See, now you understand why these two things are different. Now, he begins to give you some practical instructions in everyday living. You get practical instructions in how to walk as a son and apply this grace identity to the details of your life in the age of grace. You're not under the law. The law isn't in operation anymore. So we need some practical instructions as to how to take the doctrine and the life that we have in Christ and see that life live through us in the details of our life. How to take the adequacy and the identity that God has given us in Christ and see that applied to every area of our life and thinking. And so he says, I beseech you, therefore, we're going to move into this new section now. Take the next step. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, all of these things that demonstrate how much God has done for us, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Based upon all of this information back here, he says, I beseech you, I beg of you. Now, he could have commanded us, but for love's sake, he beseeches us. We'll see that passage next time. You see, it's the love of Christ that constrains us. That's what he says in 2 Corinthians 5:14. It isn't just that I love him. The thing that's gripped me is how much he loves me. Look at all he's accomplished and done for me. And that's gripped me. And when that grips you, he said, I beseech you therefore, because that truth has gripped you, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I want you to notice that service in the Christian life didn't show up in Romans until chapter 12. That's different, isn't it? You get saved in our assembly in the past 2 weeks. There have been 10 to 15 people trusted Christ through the witness of our people in our congregation, out witnessing and talking. And I've talked to these people. They get saved and they call me and tell me about them and I talk with them. Not one time has anybody gone to those people and said, now you need to come serve Jesus. You say, wait a minute. I thought you were supposed to win them and then bring them in and wet them and work them. No. You see, they start over here, and then they need to make the whole trip when they get here. Then they're equipped and ready. You see, when you get saved and you're a babe, you're not ready to go out and be a soldier. The service doesn't start until way down here. It isn't get them saved and then just get them working for Jesus. It's get them saved and then get them edified, and as newborn, as babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow. And then as you grow up into some maturity, what happens? Rather than me having to beat on them and push them and put them in a thing, in a vice, and squeeze them into it, you know what happens? Well, it's the life of Christ inside just lives out through them naturally. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. That's what Romans 1 is talking about. We'll see it next time more fully. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. Just make a personal choice to present your body as who you already are. It's the vehicle in which Christ lives. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. When you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, that doesn't mean you've got to go quit doing a bunch of stuff. Holy means to be set apart for the purpose for which you were created. You know who you are in Christ? You're holy and beloved. You'd never be able to make yourself holy. I know people got all these rules and regulations. Don't do this and don't go there and don't say this and do that. And you do all these things and you're going to be holy. No, you won't be holy the best day you ever have. in yourself. God made you holy and without blame before Him in Christ. Acceptable unto God. You know how you're made acceptable unto God? In Christ. We're made accepted in the blood. He's talking about, in Romans 12, 1, not something you can go out and do. He's talking about just be who God already has made you in Christ. That's your reasonable service. That's how you serve God with an intelligent understanding of who He's made you in Christ. It isn't you trying to go out there and climb the ladder and live up to who He wants you to be. That's a thankless task. It's rather recognizing as currently, presently, this instant, already true of you, that you are who God has made you in Christ. And then look around at your life, and anything that doesn't match that identity, shoo it out and get rid of it. Take your stand in Christ. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, by His love for you and what He's accomplished for you, make a choice of personal determination to live in the identity that God has given you in Christ, so that it's Christ living in you, the hope of glory. That's the key to the Christian life, because the essence of all of Christianity is simply Christ living in you, His life for His glory. Well, we'll study more about that next time. Until then, thanks for being there, and we'll see you then. Maranatha.
Thank you, Brother Jordan, for that message from the Word of God. Friends, we have a cassette tape that we'd like you to have to go along today's study. The tape is entitled, Taking the Next Step. It's yours free of charge. It's our way of saying thanks for listening. We'll be happy to see that you receive your free copy, along with a 2 subscription to our monthly Bible study, The Grace Journal, if you simply write us here at the Message of Grace. The address should be on your screen. That's the Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. If you prefer, you can also call us during regular business hours at area code 708-529-0520. Request tape offer number 323. That's tape offer number 323. The Message of Grace is a ministry of Grace School of the Bible, and we're glad you've been with us here today. If our study together has been a help to you, we're happy to put you in touch with a Bible study in this area where the message of God's wonderful grace is proclaimed from His rightly divided Word. And friend, if you are still not sure of salvation, that your sins are forgiven, and that you have eternal life as a present possession, let us know. We'll happy to send you some gospel literature that will show you the way. The address again is the Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. Thanks for being with us today, and God's best until we meet next time for another Message of Grace.